This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. The Caps are in the middle. Well, maybe, let's hope they're in the middle, of a winning streak, of all things.
Yeah.
Last week, we were kind of down in the dumps talking about how the Caps look like they've lost their way, but how do you get mad at a five-game winning streak? Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
You get mad real easy when the other teams also are on a winning streak.
That's true. That's very true.
The Caps have been playing well over the last couple of days. Since we talked last, they've gone 3-0.
3-0.
Buffalo, Vancouver, and the Islanders. But the problem is that everyone else in their division is also winning.
That's true. I'm going to say I didn't get to see the Islanders game at all, unfortunately. But Vancouver, I did get to watch a good chunk of that game. I want to say that Vancouver game was the best, most well-rounded game the Capitals have played all season. Maybe that player-only meeting that they had after one of the games last week, maybe that actually worked. Maybe that did something because they're looking a little different. They're looking they're not looking as lethargic. They're not letting things get away from them. They've looked really good in the last three games.
They've woken up, you might say.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nice to see how they've been playing, but the problem is that they have to continue doing this because the other teams in their division are also doing just as well. I mean, Pittsburgh's currently leading the Metro, and they're on a six-game winning streak. The Rangers are in second, and they've only lost one game, so they are probably coming off a bunch of wins. Their last 10, they're 6-4-0. Columbus is on a seven-game winning streak. Caps are on five. The Flyers are on a nine-game winning streak. I mean, this is ridiculous. And then you have New Jersey, Carolina, and the Islanders, but, you know, they're struggling a little bit. Caps are currently in fourth, tied with Philadelphia with 39 points. And they're only 2 points behind the Penguins in first, having played one less game. But if the other teams keep winning, it's not going to help them to catch up. So as long as the other teams are winning, the Caps have to keep doing the same thing.
All right,
the thing is, they're in the toughest division in hockey right now because the top three through seventh team in the overall NHL standings is from the Metro Division.
That's just crazy. So how's that going to work, like, playoff time? Like, aren't they going to have to, like, split with the Atlantic Division on who's in the Stanley Cup? Like,
yeah.
Like, let's say, like, the season ended today. If you're a Metro team and you're only 2 points behind the first place, there's a chance you don't even get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess that's technically true. I mean, right now the Caps have the first wild card spot with the second one going to the Flyers. The current team on the outside looking in is the Devils, and they're also in the Metro. So the Metro is currently dominating the Eastern Conference. But right now, I mean, I think you would have one of the teams playing against the Atlantic Division, or they would sort of jump into the Atlantic Division for the playoffs.
That's crazy, but
it's a little nuts.
Hopefully the other teams start losing, because that would really help us out.
That would be great. Like, I would greatly appreciate it.
This is why it's good, you know, not to peak too early, but it's also really important to win games starting off because it's gonna be a big fight throughout the whole season.
It's a fight, yeah.
I mean,
it's a fight the rest of the way. We saw it with the Caps teams in the 90s and the early 2000s where – and even a little bit at the beginning of the Ovechkin era where they would struggle out of the gate and then there'd be a fight to get into the playoffs as they went forward. And so you don't want to be – fighting necessarily tooth and nail because you may exhaust yourself. You want to be playing playoff hockey, but you don't want to burn yourself out before the playoffs come.
Absolutely, completely agree with you there. So let's get into it. Let's talk about the nitty-gritty here. I want to start off talking about Jacob Vrana. Call up earlier this month. He's already got two NHL goals. The kids look solid. I mean, from what we've seen from him, like you said, looks like he's going to be sticking around for a little bit. Where do you see this kid going? Is the sky the limit for him?
I mean, he's been playing well. He's got, 3 points in seven games. He got his first two goals of the season in the last couple of weeks. First against Buffalo, and then he scored against the Islanders. He's playing well, and I don't see any reason that he's going to be sent down. I mean, Trotz has put him out there on the power play on occasion. I think he's here to stay unless he suddenly hits a big old cold streak.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, he's still a young kid. You know, you never know how the adjustment.
How old is Romo?
You never know how like the adjustment going from the AHL to the NHL is going to go for players. Some of them start really, really hot and then cool down. But if this kid can really make it last for a while, you know, he's going to be something special, I think.
He is 20 years old.
So the Caps had a team-building exercise in a bar. He shouldn't have even been allowed in there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you asked that question before when we were watching the video. Yeah, they might be in a little bit of trouble here.
I think you're allowed in a bar up until, like, 9 o'clock, and then you're not allowed to be inside anymore.
And then he would have gotten kicked out.
Yeah, they just kept sniffing his drink, making sure he was just drinking a soda.
Sorry, Jacob, you gotta leave. Burkowski? Oh, he's 21 now. Okay. So Burkowski could stay.
Right. But one place Burkowski can stay is in the lineup right now.
Look at that segue.
That was amazing.
That was good.
So Burakovsky, he missed the Islanders game. Barry Trotz used him as a healthy scratch. Kind of thought it would be better for him to watch it. And now Brett Connolly comes in, scores against the Islanders. So I have to assume Connolly's got that spot for the foreseeable future. So there's a good chance we don't see Burakovsky play on Friday. I think it's Friday when they're in Carolina, correct? Is that Friday?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah. They have back-to-back Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, so it looks like Burakovsky, there's a good chance we don't see him for that game. Maybe we'll see him on Saturday. But what do you make of this Burakovsky situation right now? Because we've seen this consistently from Burakovsky, is that he'll start off strong. I mean, he came out swinging 2 goals in the first game, and he hasn't been to the back of the net since. Same thing happened on his debut season. He scored a goal, the first goal of the season, and then nothing. Went to the Hershey Bears for a little bit. I don't think he's going to do that this season, but what do you make of this? Is this Andrei Burakovsky? Is he just a streaky kind of player?
I mean, right now it certainly seems to be the case. Like you said, he scored his first 2 goals, his only 2 goals, against the Penguins back in October, and that's been it. He's got 10 points in 27 games. That's not great for a guy who's supposed to be in the top 6. He's a -2. He's struggling. He's having a little bit of a tough time, and I think
he hasn't gotten like any points at all in what the last like 6 or 7 games.
I have to check on him specifically, but that sounds about right. I feel like I haven't heard his name in quite a while. He's got no points in his last 5 games that he's played, and hasn't gotten a point since November 25th against Buffalo. He got an assist in the game. He was still a -1. 2 games before, he had 2 assists in the game against St. Louis. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit things are going well there, and then they just dropped off. And I mean, now, last week you would ask me, is there anyone that should be sitting? And it looks like Burakovsky's that guy. He's not playing as well as he should be, and it looks like he'll be up in the press box until either someone else struggles or Trost feels like he's ready to get back out there.
Now,
he's also a young guy. I mean, he's only 21, so it's not the end of the world if he spends a couple of games in the press box watching.
That was going to be my next question. Is Burakovsky not a top 6 guy? Is he a third liner, fourth liner type of guy, or is he just a young guy who's kind of struggling right now?
I think he's a young guy struggling right now. I wouldn't look too much into it. I mean, he's only in what, his third season. Second full in the NHL, and so I'm not concerned with him yet.
If you remember, there was a big deal after he got drafted they wanted him to go to the Erie Otters the first thing after he got drafted, and he didn't want to go. He thought he should have been, you know, AHL, NHL right out of the gate. So it's kind of funny to see him, you know, 3-4 seasons in, and he's the guy that's sitting. I mean, he definitely thought a lot of himself, and you know, he's kind of maybe got a little bit humble in the last couple seasons, but it looks like he's taking it seriously. They said he talks to a sports psychologist. I read that from the Washington Post, that kind of helps him get through stuff that might be holding him back. So he's at least putting in the work. I mean, he's definitely trying.
Yeah, I mean, I think the effort's there. It's just not working for him right now, and I feel like eventually things will start to turn around for him. But at the moment, he's struggling, and he's sitting in the press box, you know, doing some learning and watching the team and seeing how they're playing so that he can watch from above, see how things are going, and start to work on the things that he's making, that he's doing poorly. That sounds meaner than I intended. Not doing poorly, but, like, just not doing well enough.
All right, so we'll see what happens with Burakovsky. He might be sitting for the next couple games, but hey, maybe that's for the best. So let me ask you about Lars Eller. We brought him up last week. You were kind of like, hey, you know, you're giving the guy a bad rap. Our buddy Ryan Drury got on your case on Twitter. I saw that.
Whoa! Not just me. It was us. Don't throw me under the bus.
I was the one saying, you know, the guy isn't showing up, and you're like, oh, you know, he's showing up. I don't know. What do you think of Lars Eller since we talked last weekend? Has he shown any improvements in the three games he's played?
I think he got an assist in one of them.
Okay, so he's doing that, something.
No, I think that Eller. It's not a lack of effort, but I think it's he's just not performing up to the expectations that we have or we should have for him. I found it interesting that after one of the periods, I don't remember what game it was, might have been the Buffalo game, Alan May was actually – or maybe it was on the postgame show. He was talking about Eller and saying that fans should not expect him to have this big big goal-scoring streak or put up a lot of points because he's not a big scoring threat. And it's actually true. I went back and I looked at his stats. Over his career, his highest point total in the NHL is 30 points. So I'm not expecting him to go out and be scoring goals every other game. But I do expect that his faceoff percentage is going to be higher than where it's currently at 46.18%. That's not good enough. He's a minus five. That's not good enough. I don't expect him to put up points every week, every night, you know, get a goal or an assist every, you know, fifth or sixth game. But I do expect him to have a better face-off percentage, especially if his cap is something like $3.5 million. If you're getting that much money, the expectations on you should be higher, and he's not meeting mine right now.
He hasn't met my expectations all season, so, I mean, that's nothing new.
Yeah, you're the one that actually didn't like his rip it into him.
I was.
You don't like Eller.
I don't. I fully admit that. I do not. I don't think he's very good. I was expecting way more from him. I'm not saying I was expecting him to be scoring all the time, but I'm not comfortable when he's out there with the third line. I like Verana right now. I like Connolly, but Eller centering those guys, I don't think that's the he's the best player. I mean, I guess he's good for what we have, but I'd much rather see a guy like Johansson being the center for that third line.
No, it's the best way for me to put that. No, you need Johansson in the top six. I think he's playing very well in the wing, and I see no reason to bump him out of that spot. I think if the team after the season was to move on from Eller, I would wonder if they would give a look at Jay Beagle for that third line spot. I mean, the guy is doing pretty well in terms of putting up points this season. Now, he is doing on the fourth line, so he's not exactly playing against another team's top opposition, but he's got 5 goals and 6 assists in 28 games. That's not that bad for a fourth line guy. Like, I'll take that. If he gets over 20 points this season and his face-off percentage is 60.77%, I will take that. And if he can match that on the third line, if not exceed it, even better.
Jay Beagle can do no wrong. I'm just going to fully admit that.
Well, that's just clearly incorrect.
But all right, so here's my thinking, all right? Burakovsky, he comes back, he's re-energized, he's ready to go. You move him up to the second line. You have Connolly on the left wing, you move Johansson to the center spot on that third line, and you let Eller sit a game or two. That's what you do.
Okay.
And see what happens.
I'm going to say no. Though I do like the idea of like a Vrana, a Vrana, Johansson, I don't even know if he'd be on the right wing at that point, Williams? Line, I feel like that would be interesting.
Well, Verona's on the right. You got to look for left.
I have it backwards, don't I?
Yeah.
You know what? I take it back because I want Johansson in the top six.
All right. Have it your way.
I take it back completely.
Have it your way.
No, I think there's no reason to bump Johansson. Who? Johansson out of the top six because he's playing exceptionally well. I mean, currently he is. Where's my stat sheet that I had up? He's second on the team in points with 22. He's a plus 8. He's got 12 goals and 10 assists. I will take that any day of the week.
All right.
He's doing well. I got no problems. He's ahead of Oshie. He's ahead of Ovechkin in points. He's only one goal behind him. He's got 3 power play goals, 7 power play points. I think he's playing well. No need to mess with – well, I mean, Trost likes to mess with what's – well, when it's not working, I guess. That phrase wasn't going to work the way I wanted to say it. That was – That was not going well.
Johansson's doing well.
When it's not
well.
Working, you mess with it. But when it's – yeah, I mean, when he's playing well, there's no reason to move him around. But I do think if you had him on a line with Vrana and, I don't know, on the left, Ovechkin, I mean
– Burakovsky, maybe Connolly.
Burakovsky's not playing well.
Yeah. Winnick, you want to put Winnick on that left side?
No, I do not. No, thank you.
All right, so the Caps have back-to-back games coming up this weekend, one against Calgary, one against Carolina, and one against Montreal. Since we always see this, which goalie is going to play which game?
Ooh. I'm going Grubauer in Carolina and Holtby at home against Montreal.
All right.
That's my somewhat educated guess.
Holtby was playing fantastic against the Islanders. He had one of his best games of the year.
He's losing his mind.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would put him in Carolina just to keep that that rhythm going. And let's see what Grubauer does against Montreal. You know, they're a little bit of a tougher team. I think it'd be good for Grubauer to get some of that experience.
They're the top team in the East right now.
Yeah, they're going to be a rough one. I mean, I guess
I want Holtby. I want Holtby in that game.
Yeah, I guess you want your number one against the number one team. I understand that, but I just would like to see how Grubauer does against a team who is that high up. But I mean, we're fighting for points right now. So yeah, I can understand Holtby playing against Montreal. Is there any chance you think he does both, or do you think they're going to split it?
Nah, I think he's split it. I don't see a reason to necessarily have him play both, because you don't want to run the risk of overdoing it or risking injury. I think you got plenty of time, and then you have a bit of a – well, you do have three games off after that, so you could theoretically play Holtby in both. I mean, you're only playing two games next week against the Flyers and Tampa Bay. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Holtby played both, but I do expect a split.
All right, we'll see what happens. So anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Probably.
We should talk about their team-building dart exercise that Ovi documented today.
Yes.
They went to a Rangers bar and got into some competitive darts. They got awesome shirts with Will Ferrell from Old School with a dart in his neck. And Ovi got to be...
And the Caps logo.
Yeah, and the Caps logo. But Ovi got to be the camera guy and confused Barry Trotz and Verana and Andre Burakovsky about how cameras work.
He had no idea what was going on.
No, none at all. None whatsoever. But this is Trotz's MO. He loves these team-building exercises. They've been to Annapolis. They've gone to a curling thing in Canada. He loves this kind of stuff. And I think it works with this team, kind of showing how different athletes prepare for games or prepare for – I don't know what you call it in darts, but – any way they can be competitive off the ice.
Things.
Yeah. It seems to work with this team, and Barry Trotz likes it.
Yeah, I have no problem with the team building stuff. I don't know why somebody would. I think having these guys, knowing that they get along, definitely helps in terms of how they're playing and working together. And it helps because if you get along with and not appreciate, but I guess that kind of works for what I'm going here. But if you believe in the person that you're playing with, then when they call you out, if you're not playing well, then it works much better than someone who you're like, if they call you out and you're like, well, screw this guy, I don't believe you. So it makes perfect sense for these guys to get along. It makes things much easier when you got to call somebody out.
And it was nice to see in one of the videos, Oshie was kind of playing around with Ovechkin, and they were messing around a little bit. And if you remember back in October, I brought up that they had a costume party and Oshie was nowhere to be found. So I was kind of wondering if Oshie didn't have a really good relationship with his teammates. But seeing stuff like this, it looks like he's comfortable, has fun with the guys, and, you know, he's one of the dudes.
He's one of the dudes. But the bros, just hanging out. No, I mean, I like to see that these guys are all getting along. It makes things much easier than if they all hate each other.
I mean,
it's true.
No, I don't think Ovi documented who actually won the darts tournament, but I don't know. Should we assume it's him? It probably isn't, because he would have gloated if he won.
Yeah, it would have been all over the place if Ovechkin won.
So I wonder who won. I'm intrigued now.
All right, who's your guess? I'm going to go... Who would like Backstrom?
I bet you it is.
Think about the passing. the accuracy.
Who's the least drunk though? Maybe Verana. He's the most sober.
He's not allowed to drink, so he has the best chance.
Yeah.
I'm going with Backstrom.
All right,
that's my pick.
All right,
that's my pick. I feel like his passing ability is going to also work for his ability to throw a small weapon. Well, that is kind of what a puck is. I mean, if you use that as a weapon, it is going to hurt.
That'll hurt.
So there's that.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for Caps World. We are going to go down on the farm. But before we do that, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, guys. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what is going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Rochester. The Bears are currently tied for first in the Atlantic Division, though they are shown in the standings as being in third, but they are tied for first place. They'll be back at it with three games over the weekend: Friday on the road in Lehigh Valley, Saturday at the Giant Center against Hartford, with Sunday's 5 p.m. start at home against Springfield. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-1 with a win over Greenville. Stingrays are currently fifth in the South Division with 21 points, 12 back of first place Florida. They got to go on a little bit of a winning streak. They are playing as we speak. And last I saw on Twitter, let's see if there's an update. They were up 3-2, I believe, at the end of the second. So hopefully they keep that going, get a couple more points tonight, and keep on. They play in Norfolk, and then they will play two more away games in Norfolk, or Norfolk, because why would they play anywhere else, on Friday and Saturday before returning home to the North Charleston Coliseum on Tuesday to play against Greenville. Now, Brandon, before we go anywhere else, you sent me something on Twitter today that I thought was rather interesting and could be a bit of an update regarding the ECHL. Would you like to tell everybody about it?
I saw on Caps Outsider tweeted it out that there is a chance of a new, I guess, a sportsplex, an arena in Silver Spring, Maryland, and they're looking for a pro, semi-pro team.
So it looks like Montgomery County wants to build a 5,000-seat sports arena for downtown Silver Spring. As I understand, they're going to build it. There's the parking garages of Bonifant. It's just east of the Silver Spring Metro.
Yeah.
So my guess is pretty close to downtown Silver Spring, like near the movie theaters, near where they just opened a Dave & Buster's. There's the movie theaters, Dave & Buster's, a bunch of restaurants, lots of things to do down there. And I feel like this is actually kind of a cool thing. The problem is going to be twofold. One, the D.C. area traffic sucks.
True.
And like a 7 o'clock or 7:30 game trying to get down to Silver Spring, given bad traffic, you should go on the other way. Could still be a freaking nightmare. That's number one. Number two, your other option right there is Metro, and riding Metro is literally a nightmare. So it's kind of a, you know, you're kind of screwed either way unless you live down near there and you're walking. And even then, who the hell knows? But that would be pretty cool. We could have the Silver Spring. I called them the Red Lines on Twitter today. Brady, what should they be called? It looks like Baltimore's not going to get a team because nobody but us is talking about it.
But hold on, let me correct you right there. Ted Leonsis was at a press conference at the Royal Farms Arena in downtown Baltimore today.
Wait, what was their Twitter account name again?
Rofo Arena.
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense.
They're
stupid.
He was there to announce the first head coach of the Baltimore Arena Football League team.
Explain to me how Baltimore and Washington have two different teams owned by the same people.
I don't know, but if Ted Leonsis is got his foot in the door at the Baltimore Arena for an AFL team, there's a good chance he could get an ECHL team in there.
Well, who are we going to go with the affiliation then? Are they going to go to Baltimore or are they going to go to Silver Spring?
I don't know.
Dude, what if one of the local ones is for, like, the Flyers?
Ugh.
or the Penguins. No, the Penguins have Wheeling. They're pretty much good
there. Wouldn't like them. Wouldn't go to their game.
No, that'd be that would be tough. I would definitely not go to a game. But that would be pretty cool if the Caps minor league. Oh, they could be the Silver. I don't know if they do the Silver Spring or the Montgomery, or if they just go like how the Skins.
Silver Spring Miners.
No, but like you do not the baby Caps, but like the little Caps even sounds weird.
The lowercase,
but like the eight. The Silver Spring lowercase capitals. But like the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, you could call them the Silver Spring Capitals or the Montgomery Capitals or the Maryland Capitals. Any of those are viable options, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting closer and closer to minor league hockey in Maryland. Not going to lie.
They said, wait. The request, I'm kind of reading this, sort of. The arena must be designed to serve as the, quote, the home of one or more minor league sports teams with a semi-professional hockey organization as the preferred anchor tenant. That would actually be pretty cool.
I mean, we'll see what happens. Ted Leonsis, he's like the king of any kind of sports around the D.C. metro area.
That's true.
So, I mean, whatever sport he wants to do, that's what they'll probably allow. Like, what else can he get into at this point? Like, is there competitive foosball somewhere?
Fencing? I mean, he's, what, competitive video gaming? He's got that thing going on. But, yeah, that's somehow what's going on down in the farm. That farm might be coming closer to home.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But did you see that the snow globe has been revealed for the Hershey Bears?
No.
It is Santa wearing a Bears jersey.
Well, that's... No, that's not bad. Wait, where did you see that?
The Hershey Bears Facebook page.
I'm in the wrong spot. I gotta go look that up because, damn it, now I want that. But I am not gonna pay what you people on eBay want, you bastards. Hershey, I spelled Bears wrong. Brandon, go to the game and give me one.
I wanna go. I want one myself.
So, no, get me one.
No, get your own.
You wouldn't get me
a Holt Beast anyway, you jerk.
That thing is stupid. All right, we've gotten way off track here, guys. Sorry, everybody. I can't find this photo you're talking about. Oh, there it is. Santa looks kind of creepy.
Well, I mean, a lot of the Santas do look creepy.
That's a good point. I kind of want this less now. I still want, what was the other one I wanted?
The Nathan Walker one.
Oh, that was great. I can't find it. Ah, but that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, guys, so that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, guys, here we go. We're going around the NHL. We are talking about somebody's been concussed. Somebody's been suspended. The Eastern Conference is just ruling all. Pacific doesn't know what hit them. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
What? What just happened?
I just did I'm your so job confused. For you. I did all of the around the NHL stuff.
Everything bad has happened, guys. It's unfortunate, but that's the case. Now, I mean, it's been a little bit of a quiet week. Only got a couple of bits of news. But let's start in the with the NHL's Department of Player Safety, as they have had a busy week. Dallas defenseman Jamie Oleksiak was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Philly forward Chris Vandeveldi. That guy's got too many of the same letters in his last name. two capital V's. There's 3 E's. What is he? 2 D. Oh, Vandeveldi, you got to get a new name, man. While Vandeveldi was legal to be checked on that play, it was not necessary, and Oleksiak got to sit for it. However, Oleksiak wasn't the only player misbehaving, as Ottawa defenseman Mark Borowiecki was suspended. It looks like Borowiecki, but apparently that's not how it's pronounced. He was suspended for 2 games for boarding LA forward Tyler Toffoli. Borowiecki by no means had to hit Toffoli the way he did and definitely earned his 2 days off. I feel like his hit was definitely worse than Oleksiak's. Like, Oleksiak could have come in and hit him in the body, but he just, I don't know if he mistimed it or was just a dick about it, but he hit the dude in the head. But Borowiecki, he had no reason to hit Toffoli the way he did. He definitely earned his 2-game suspension. Toronto sent center Peter Holland to Arizona for a conditional draft pick in the 2018 NHL draft. And finally, the Islanders I'm sorry, Islanders forward and overall douchebag Kyle Clutterbuck signed a 5-year, $17.5 million extension with the Brooklyn-based team. So it looks like that a-hole is going to be hanging around for just a little while. But that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
Hanging around.
I mean, unless they trade him, but seriously, like, F that guy.
Exactly. That kid's got alligator blood. Ugh.
He's a dickhead.
Rounders. That's what that was from.
I only saw that movie once.
You're stupid.
Focus, Brandon. Focus.
Haven't seen Rounders. Haven't seen Drive. Hasn't watched Breaking Bad. Something is
wrong. Dude, you didn't even like Stranger Things.
It was. Yeah.
Did you see Netflix's new show coming out?
What?
Yeah. All right, everybody, go look up the trailer for the OA. I think that's what it's called.
All right.
It comes out Friday, and it looks amazing.
Go watch Bloodline in the meantime. That's on Netflix. It's amazing.
No, dude, it's got Herschel, Scott Wilson.
Herschel's in it.
Yep. Oh. As is. Oh, who else did I see in the trailer?
Beth.
Oh, Jason Isaacs.
Oh, all right.
So it's about a girl who goes missing when she's young. She's blind and she goes missing, and then like, I don't know, 9 years or 19 years later or something like that, she comes back and she's not blind anymore.
Oh, wow, that old chestnut.
Like, what's going on? Everybody go check it out. It looks very cool. But you like Stranger Things, so you're wrong.
I will stand by this. It was good. I enjoyed it, but it was like the greatest hits album from your favorite band. Yeah, that's a good album, but I'd really like some new music from you. That's...
Dude, it was good.
It was good. Wasn't great. I've You're seen wrong. It all before.
You didn't see that monster before. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I have. Totally have seen that before. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
If you don't find me on Twitter and tell me about how I'm right about Stranger Things, you can find me at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old stuff at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads. Of which, Brandon, do the Caps have a bobblehead coming out anytime soon?
No, they don't have that one until Hopi in, like, March.
Oh, they have the Caps one for their package deal thingy.
With the counter.
But yeah. That one's cool, but I think you have to buy those tickets by, like, tomorrow in order to get the counter. We talked about it before, so nobody can get mad at me that y'all didn't know. But, yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But, Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and everything we do here via podcast. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Like us there. Follow us. Do all that good stuff. We're going to be inside for the next couple days because it's a polar vortex hitting Maryland. And we're going to
be like 12.
We're going to feel like Canada for the next couple days. But talk to us. Like us. Follow us. Do everything there so we have something to do during this polar vortex. Hang out with us throughout the next couple days. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, Pokemon Go, and every other website, social app you use on your phone. Say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, we will have two games to discuss on Friday, December 16th. The Capitals are in Carolina up against the Hurricanes. You can watch that game locally on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. And then on Saturday, the Caps come back home to D.C. up against Montreal and those Canadiens. They're going to feel right at home in this polar vortex. Those crazy.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's like we never left.
Oh, this is like a home game for us. You can watch that game locally on Comcast Sportsnet, or it will be shown on the NHL Network. So you fans nationwide can watch that game. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. I want to thank you all for joining us on What the Puck. It's always fun. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.